And Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the what? The anointing. Look at chapter 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the what? Fear of the Lord. All right, we're talking about faith, the anointing connector. Faith, the anointing connector. Now, what I said about the anointing is it's God's burden-removing, what? Yoke-destroying power. Am I right about it? We also said that the anointing is the performance enhancer. Come on, shift gears now. It's a performance enhancer. We also said that the anointing is the power on human flesh to do what only God can do. Got it? We also said that, that's what we said. Praise God. Okay. Now, the anointing. It's not just for in the church to have church service miracles, but its primary purpose is to provide you with an ability to live a quality of life that is far above and beyond what those in this natural world can experience. That's the main reason for the anointing. Now, in these last days, what we said before was that the anointing is the biggest subject of this hour, and it will be as you close out this dispensation. Failure of a believer will simply come down to the question of who allows the anointing to be quenched in their lives. The attacks of the devil that you experience today and as we work our way towards the coming of our Lord are all about stopping the anointing. Glory to God. That's powerful stuff right there. All right? Now, the anointing is absolutely necessary to have, if you expect to live a victorious life in these last days. Now, in Judges chapter 16, we saw where Samson was anointed. He had taken a Nazarite vow. Now, his strength was above that which was ordinary, and he was a judge. But he found himself sleeping in the lap of Delilah, that she represented the world. And this caused him, as she pressed him, to give a secret as to where his strength lay, which they came and cut his hair off. And she said, it's time before Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He jumped up and didn't realize that all his strength was gone. So, church is designed to go into the world, but not lay in the lap of the world. If you recall, Joseph was transported from his family down to Egypt. But notice when Mrs. Potiphar tried to get him to lie with her, Joseph said no. As a matter of fact, he ran and left his coat. He was always losing his coat. He had lost his coat a couple other times. And if you recall, Potiphar didn't even know what was under his hand, so Joseph didn't try to embezzle any money. He acted honestly. So notice integrity is key for that anointing to continue to work in your life. Daniel, for example, his Daniel, and they wanted Daniel to bow, I guess, when he heard the music or whatever have you. But no, not to pray to any other god. But Daniel refused that ordinance and went up into his room, and he opened the windows and prayed. And they arrested him, threw him in the lion's den, but the lions could not and would not attack him. So we're saying that there is an antichrist spirit. The word Christ is not Jesus' last name. The word Christ has to do with the anointed one and his anointing. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. All right, if you're there, say praise the Lord. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the what time? The last time. So in the last days, the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, is really going to be loose in the world. Now, what does the Antichrist come to bring? Fear, timidity, timidness, jealousy, gossip, lying, bitterness, unforgiveness, immorality, slothfulness, worry, all these things to stop the anointing. All right? Now, what we discovered is that the anointing flows top down, not bottom up. So we found that out in Psalm 133 and 1 Samuel, where the anointing oil was poured on Samuel's head. We found out also that the anointing is transferable. That the anointing is transferable. You know, that's what I asked for in terms of winning souls. The pastor, the bishop that I was under, I asked for that same anointing that was on his life. And I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to serve this man. And that same anointing that's on his life, I want it on mine to win souls. And he gave it to me. Praise God. Amen. And also, if you go to 2 Kings chapter 2, you'll see that this anointing that was on Elijah came on Elisha, but Elisha asked for a double portion. Also, in Numbers chapter 11, you'll see that the anointing that was on Moses came on 70 elders, and they had that same anointing. So the anointing provides ability to do what only God can do. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. Glory to God. All right, Matthew chapter 13. Let me know when you get there. Hallelujah. All right, Matthew chapter 13. Okay, verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Underline wisdom and mighty works. All right. Now, these are two aspects of that anointing. One is wisdom. Another one is might or mighty works. Now, tonight, I want to talk about wisdom. Now, the things that I showed you that the anointing could do, I showed you in 2 Kings 13, how a man had been killed in war, and they didn't have time to bury him, so they just threw him in a sepulcher and threw him in a hole. But Elijah's bones were down there, and that anointing was still carried in those bones, and the man hit those bones and revived and got up. Praise God. We showed you also, well, I won't go through all of that, but Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. That's 2 Chronicles, praise God, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. The love of Christ constrains us. Now, what do I mean by constrained, somebody? What do I mean by constrained? Help me. It holds us back. So the love for that anointing holds us back from giving that man a piece of my mind. Can I just use that? Or the love of Christ holds me back from going out on this date and doing something I shouldn't be doing. The love of Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? So confession, a good confession to make, is Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Keep going. That strengthens me. Now, what am I saying with that? I'm saying that I don't have to go to an outside source. The anointing, the power of God is already in me to do whatever needs to be done. Say amen to that. Now, I've got some folders right under that zipper right there. Yeah. And bring me those, because there's a word I want to give to you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Now, this was from Sunday, and I said something. I want to get it right. Oh, man, here are my notes for the other thing. There's something in it. You know, the devil is a liar. You know that? Okay, but anyway. All right, I said something. I said that, just get what I said here. This is Bible study and Bible study, isn't it? Okay, all right. I said that God never blesses you beyond your mental capacity. God never blesses you beyond your mental capacity. In other words, you've got to believe. Now, what he can do is he can use other people to pray for you or something like that. But that is in an atmosphere of grace where somebody else is around you. But somebody has to believe, whether you or them or something. So it's had to be mental capacity. Now, why did I tell you this? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, that means that the strength is in me because Christ is in me. Come on now, stay with me. The anointing is in me. Turn to 1 John again, chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. 1 John chapter 2. Are you there? Look what it said in verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth where? It's where? It's in you. So the anointing is in you. What anointing? Burden removing, yoke destroying power. That anointing is in you right now. Now, do you believe that? Turn to Matthew's gospel, please, and Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Let me know when you get to Matthew chapter 12. Are you there? All right, look what it says in verse 33. This is Jesus talking. Either make the tree good or his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by what? His fruit. The tree is known by his fruit. Now, what does that say to you and me? It says that whatever is on the outside of our lives, then somebody will be able to look at that and tell what's on the inside of our lives. You got what I'm saying? All right. So, if there's an anointing on you, it should be producing the fruit of that anointing. Say amen to that. And the only reason why the fruit of that anointing is not being produced is because there is no real consciousness of the anointing being in you. Please stay with me. I'm trying to teach you now. I used to tell my wife, I said, baby, you know, people all say, I know that, I know that. But to know it and not to do it is not to know it. You don't really know it. You claim and you know that. And I find that just like the man of God told me, he said, you know, God has made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. Hey, I heard that, didn't I? And I could repeat that back to you just like I'm doing right now. But you know what? That wasn't real inside of me. Now, as it's becoming more real, all of a sudden, I'm seeing scriptures I've never seen before. Why? Because now my believing is shifting. I'm starting to believe I can pay off this building. No, you got to hear what I'm saying. I'm not trying to boast of myself. I'm just saying God has enough laid up for either one of you that you can step in here anytime. Are you following what I'm saying? But we got to have a conscious mental knowledge that is there. It just can't be in your conscious mind. It's got to be in your subconscious. You got to know that this is true. And when you know that it's true, when I was meditating the word and meditating, I got to finish this. Y'all stay with me because you just can't teach this so fast. I'm meditating the word to leave the company that I was working with. Well, hey, I kept saying I'm leaving, but every time I start leaving, you know, something else come up or whatever, and I didn't leave. But once I meditated that word and got a revelation of what it was I was leaving and what I was going to, then all of a sudden, it became clear to me and the strength was there for me to do it. Now, what switched? Not my conscious mind, but my believing system. I believe something that I didn't believe before. Let's go to one more place. Go to Matthew chapter 9. I see right now I'm not going to finish all of this. And I've typed it out so pretty. It's really typed out very pretty. Because I was going to give you some handouts tonight. And, wait a minute now. Okay. Y'all not going to leave here before next Wednesday unless the Lord. Okay. So I have some. But I didn't get the outline. I got the long version, but I don't want to give you the long version because it would be too many papers that you have. I was just going to give you an outline. But anyway, maybe I shouldn't even told you that. Maybe that was the wrong thing to do. All right, what did I tell you to turn? Matthew 9. All right, look what it says here. Look at verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him and said to him, and he said to them, pardon me, Jesus said to them, "Believe you that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, what? "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes and saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you," and their eyes were open. So there are things that God cannot do for you until you believe. I'll say it again. There are things that God cannot do for you until you believe. So people can hear me teach one time on the anointing and say, "Praise God, I got the anointing inside of me." You don't believe that yet. Now you need to take it home and meditate it. Because consciously you mentally assented to the fact that it's true. That's what you did. But the belief system wasn't changed. Because when the belief system wasn't changed, then you'll have the same results that Jesus did. Things will happen in your life. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. Let me know when you get there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 14, and the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. And what did he do with them? He healed them. I mean, there are certain things that start happening in our lives. We get the fruit of this thing. Okay, let's go on because I want to get this. Now, this is my typing. Isn't this nice and wonderful? Typed up real nice and pretty and everything. Okay. All right, now. Okay, let's talk about this. He said, "Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" All right, one of the attributes of the anointing is the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. And this spirit of wisdom delivers to you the wisdom of God. In other words, there's a better way of doing whatever job or assignment you're engaged in presently. Because ultimately, this wisdom is going to distinguish you. It's going to make you a star. Are you with me? So now, this wisdom of God The only one who makes this wisdom, the Spirit of God, is the only one who makes this wisdom available to a man, to a natural person. Okay? Now, the end time church will gain prominence by the many-sided, complicated wisdom of God. Now, let's turn to that scripture. I'm going to go through this real fast. Let's turn to Ephesians, if you will, and Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. I'm teaching now. I said I'm teaching now. Look what it says in verse 8, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me, Paul is talking, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the what? Unsearchable riches, come on, of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, I'm saying that the end time church will gain prominence by the many-sided wisdom of God. This is one of the ways that God is going to raise you up. Now, I'm going to keep teaching and you'll see what I'm talking about. By the way, when Jesus was born, what did the wise men bring to his house? What did they bring? They brought what? Gold, keep going, frankincense, and myrrh. Did anybody remember when Peter Daniels was here and he was speaking on that, and he said they commissioned a group to do a study of how much gold those wise men brought to Jesus's time when he was born? How much gold was it? Anybody remember? It was $400 million worth. Now, understand, on a greeting card, a Christmas card, they have a little bitty box, don't they? I'm saying, when you got born again, how much inheritance got put up for you? Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, all right. Okay, now, this wisdom, only the Holy Ghost endows you with it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This wisdom, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me know when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. But as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Let's make sure you understand that. The eye he's talking about is your natural eyes, not your spiritual eyes. Your ears that he's talking about is the natural ears. The heart is a natural part of you. It's not entered into them, the things that God has prepared for them that love him, but God has what? Revealed them to who? Us. Who is us? Us, the believer. By his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? And what things, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which who teaches? Who's going to teach us? The Holy Ghost. And he's going to compare spiritual things with what? With spiritual. So what I said is, this is something that only the Holy Ghost endows you with, this spirit of wisdom. And let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2, please. Proverbs chapter 2. Now, I'm going to make sense with it in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 2. And if you look at Proverbs chapter 2, put it on the board, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for who? The righteous. Who are the righteous? It's you and me. All right? Now, what does this wisdom do? It educates your mind and makes you creative and highly productive. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12, please. Daniel chapter 12. Now, Daniel chapter 12. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you something tonight. This is going to clean your clock. Look at Daniel chapter 12 and look at verse 3. Let me know when you get there. Verse 3. And they that be wise shall do what? Shine as the brightness of the firmament. So you're going to be a star. So wisdom is designed to make you a star and bring you to prominence. Now, the spirit of wisdom was established in Joseph's life, and it brought Joseph to prominence even in a strange land. Now, I want you to notice something. I'm about to say something that is absolutely profound. We are not talking here about the wisdom of this world. This is not natural, intellectual, technological, or scientific wisdom taught in most of our schools. Are you with me? We're talking about the wisdom of God in a mystery, the kind of wisdom that the Holy Ghost, not colleges and universities, can impart to you. Stay with me. You with me? Let's look at an example of it. Let's go to John's Gospel and John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Now, somebody said, well, I'm not supposed to go to school. Yeah, go to school. But understand that on top of your natural is some super. That God is putting some super on your natural. How many of y'all need a little super on your natural tonight? Okay? All right. Verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Let me read it out of the Living Bible. How can he know so much? He never has been to our schools. All right, now stay with me. Because God can anoint you with wisdom. That you know more than the PhDs, the MAs. I'm not talking about not going to school. I'm talking about let not that school be your source. Understanding that God will build on top of that and so forth. Now, let me just read a couple of things here. Because Jesus never went to their schools. Yet the philosophers, the psychologists, the doctors of the law in his day called him master. Got it? Now, what are we doing now? We're going back to the garden. Because Adam didn't have any University of Chicago. He didn't have any Triton. He had the anointing. And the anointing teacheth. Go back over to 1 John again, chapter 2. First John. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
1 John chapter 2. Now, I got 54 seconds. Can you give me just a little bit more time? Because I'm okay. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 27 again. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, it's not talking about you don't have a teacher in your church, in your environments, and so forth, because I am a teacher up here tonight, But the anointing is teaching you through me. Got it? Now, I want you to think about it, because we haven't seen things in the light of the anointing. For example, Jesus told the disciples, came to Jesus, Matthew, Mark chapter 6, and they came and said, "Master, they've been with us all these days, 3 days now, send them away." Now, these are about 20,000, 30,000 people. Send them away. He said, "No, you send them away now. I mean, they haven't eaten anything. They'll faint on the way." He said, "Feed them." Well, now they go back here and have a deacon board meeting and just check and see what we can do about this. See? Because they know Jesus got something up here if you told them to feed them. And so they said, "Hey, 300 penny worth of bread is not sufficient that we can feed all of them." In other words, for us to feed them, we'd have to go down and buy some food. We'd have to lug enough food back up here to feed 20,000. It was how many men? 5,000 men plus women and children. So we got to lug all this food. Now, if they're this hungry, what happened in Haiti when the food came? Come on now. They're fighting and people getting hurt. Now, God is not in the business of chaos. Boy, you got to see this thing. So it's going to take wisdom here. So now, what does he do? He said, "There's a lad here. He's got 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. But what is that among so many?" Jesus said, "That's enough. Give it to me." Now, who was Jesus? Come on, who was he according to what we're studying here? He was the anointed one and the anointing. So the anointing is designed to remove burdens and destroy yokes. So now he's got the anointing of multiplication right on him. So all you got to do is put it in his hands, and the anointing is going to multiply to remove the burden of hunger from those people. Are you following what I'm saying? My point to you is that the problem was not the fact that they didn't have enough food. It was not money. And many of God's people have seen their problem as money. But if you only had 2 pennies and you understand how the anointing works, you got to see what I'm saying. The problem was the anointing.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? This is why I'm teaching you this. All right, let me. Oh, y'all with me? Y'all see this? All right. So, wisdom of God. For example, a Frenchman named R.G. Letourneau, a mechanic with only a primary school education, meaning 1 through 8, grades 1 through 8, I guess, 1 through 6, yet developed a piece of earth-moving equipment that could carry 200 tons of earth, combining 2 huge mobile diesel engines and supplying electricity to a whole small town. And all at the same time when people were using mules and colts and donkeys and stuff to move earth to construction sites, he came up with that invention. He said, "I'm just a mechanic. I'm reading all this because this is what he said, who the Lord has blessed. But I am in active relationship with my God. I am a searcher out of things that I know not. I am a seeker of light from heaven. Therefore, there is no limit to what could be achieved in my life." This is a man with only an 8th grade or 6th grade education. Now listen, "I have frequently heard that he, God, uses the weak to confound the mighty." Now, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 8, please. Proverbs chapter 8. Oh, have mercy. See, I'm trying to help you. Verse 10, "Receive my instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now let's just stop right there. All right. So the church is now going to have waves of inventions from now until Jesus comes. I'm prophetically speaking now. People will start laying hold of the hidden wisdom of God, and you cannot have the wisdom of God without being innovative and creative. So this was R.G. Letourneau. Just a minute here. Let me just see what she did with this. All right, let's take another one. Ben Carson. Anybody ever heard of him? He is a neurosurgeon, renowned. When in high school, he was the class dummy. His mother kept saying to him, "Ben, if anybody can do anything, you can do it better." Today, he is recognized and renowned, renowned as separating Siamese twins that were joined at the skull. This operation took 22 hours and a team of 70 surgeons. Ben Carson was the head of the team, a black man. Also head of now, I think he's still head of Johns Hopkins University or medical school in USA, in Maryland. He says God endowed him with wisdom. Now, what is an endowment, somebody? What is an endowment? An endowment is something I didn't work for. An endowment will make me get up in the morning and play the piano, the keyboard, like Wayne. The endowment, no. Are you following what I'm saying? The endowment, that just came on me. That was something that came on me that gave me the mental capacity. Amen. The mind of Christ. All right, let me just finish this. How about a man named George Washington Carver? His discoveries, you know, it's Black History Month. His discoveries from the peanut were over 300. And sweet potatoes. I noticed they gave you all the shortest month of the year. But anyway, and the sweet potato was over him. Y'all listen at me? Okay, let's stay with this now. His discoveries from the peanut were over 300. The sweet potato, he had over 118 inventions, as well as from the soybean. He made cosmetics, face powder, lotion, now all this from a peanut, shaving cream, vinegar, cold cream, printer's ink, salve, rubbing oils, instant coffee, leather stains for mahogany, synthetic tapioca, egg yolks, flour, paint, non-toxic colors, eventually crayons. Now he made all of this from a peanut. Mr. Henry Ford tried many times to get Dr. Carver to join him in business, but Carver was committed to helping the people of the South. Edison also offered him positions with six-figure incomes, but Carver turned him down. Why? I'm going to show you that the one thing you have to do with this is stay in your purpose. Now, I'm telling you, the enemy knows that getting out of your purpose will short-circuit your anointing. George Washington Carver named his laboratory God's Little Workshop and never took any scientific books into it. He didn't need them. He was tapping into another realm. As he would just ask God how to perform the experiments. November 19th, 1924, he was speaking for the Board of Domestic Missions in New York City, Marble Collegiate Church. Dr. Carver declared before the 500 people, "God is going to reveal to us things he has never revealed before. If we put our hands in his hand, no books ever go into my laboratory. The thing that I am to do and the way that I am to do it is just revealed to me. The way Adam operated, not learned but discerned, Adam downloaded things. He said, I never have to grope for methods. The method is revealed to me the moment I'm inspired to create something new. Without God to draw aside the curtain, I would be helpless. Jesus said, one must be born again, must become as a little child, and my purpose alone must be God's purpose. So I would often go to sleep with an insolvable problem, and when I woke up, the answer is right there. So now, and that came out of a book called America's God and Country by a guy named Federer, F-E-D-E-R-E-R. Now, let me just wrap this up. So now, operating in wisdom. Every object assumes a state of rest until a relevant force is applied to it. The forces of power, or wisdom, or excellence, or counsel, or might, or revelation, or holiness, need to be provoked to be produced in your life. So how do you provoke the spirit of wisdom? First, one, wisdom is released to searchers. Searchers, people who are searching it out. Now, let's look at a searcher. Let's look at Daniel. I'm almost done. I know some of y'all are looking so sad and so forth, man. You know, this is the answer to every cotton picking problem you have right here. Two things Jesus had, wisdom and might. Man, this is what the president of this nation is looking for. They're looking for some wisdom. They don't know what to do. They're guessing, folks. But the church is supposed to be rising up in this and saying, I got the answer for you. Man, when one of the ways is also you got to place a demand on it. And I remember when one of our sisters came to me in one of the Fortune 500 companies in this area up north, and the CEO wanted to know what could he do to help black youth in Chicago. He said he was down at a meeting down at University Club downtown, and he and the CEO of Time Magazine or somewhere, they got together, and he asked him, he said, what are you doing for the black kids, black youth in this city? And he thought about it. He said, man, I'm not doing anything. He said, well, you got all these resources at your hand. Why aren't you doing something? And he said that bothered him. He went home and asked his daughter. His daughter was a lawyer. She said, well, what are you doing? And you know? And so he asked one of his assistants, which happened to be a member of our church, and she came to me and asked me, Pastor, do you know anything that Bob wants to know? Is there any way, ideas that you have of how he can help with the black youth in terms of getting them, the gangs, getting all that out of the way and so forth? I said, well, I tell you what, I don't know. She said, well, can you come visit with him? I said, yeah. So at some point, man, I met him, and I came in, very, very nice gentleman. How you doing, Reverend? And so he kind of told me the story that, you know, when he leaves here and he gets up at those pearly gates and St. Peter's standing at the gate and asking him, what did he do? You know, how those people do. I think he had a Catholic background. But the point of it is, it bothered him. So he had a problem. So understand that we have an anointing to solve problems. That's what we have. We have an anointing for it. Now, remember what I said, everything remains at rest until acted upon by an outside force. Now, that's an old physics principle. I was taught that. Everything in motion needs an outside force. So I'm just saying here, so I said to him, he said, what can I do for them? I said, Bob, I don't know what you can do right now, but in 7 days, I'll know what to do. Now, this is no different than Daniel chapter 2, where now, because the king called in all the soothsayers and everybody and said, hey, what is this dream that I dream? And what does it mean? They said, well, we don't know. Tell us what you dream. We'll tell you what it meant. He said, if I knew what I dreamed, I'd tell you what I dreamed. but I don't know what I dreamed. Now, you better tell me what I dreamed and what it meant, or I'm going to cut your head off. And so now with that kind of threat on them, normally a person, if they had the answer, would try to come forth with something. But they didn't have an answer. So I'm saying that what is happening with humanity in the world is humanity is going beyond man's solutions. That's what's happening in the world. They're going beyond. They're going into the catastrophic. They're moving into a place where now the answers that they don't have are going to cause great problems. And so they're looking for the people who God has placed in the earth that have the anointing that will give answers to remove burdens and destroy yokes. And at the same time, they'll raise them up to lead the whole thing. Now, I know you look at yourself. Well, I don't know. I didn't have much education. I just read your R.G. Letourneau. He had eighth grade education at most. Eighth grade, you read about it sometimes. They were trying to get these ships built, and they had these ships, and the World War II, and they were losing all these ships, and they came to his factory and said, hey, can you build some ships for us? He could, but he was trying to build them fast enough, and every time he'd build them and flip it over, the ship's rivets would start popping out. So they had problems. He fasted for 4 days. And in 4 days, an answer came. And then he started building a ship a day. I did that. This is one way to get this thing moving now. We were in Sister Beverly's house. We were trying to get out. Every time we try to move out, the enemy would take our money. How would he do it? The car, one time, the whole front end just fell. That was $800. I mean, as fast as we saved some money, the enemy would take it. Why? We're operating on this lower level, the 3D level. Now, God, I said, Lord, I'm tired of this. It's been 8 months. I said, okay, I'm going to go on a fast. So I went on a fast. About the fourth day, the Lord spoke to me. Now, I'm not saying you have to fast. I'm saying that's one way to get the ship moving, the wisdom. And God spoke to me. He said, son, four things. Slow down. Listen for God. Listen to God. And then act on what he said. Watch this. That was the wisdom of God. So what I do, slow down. Put my mind at rest. Then I listen for God. Here's what God said. Decree what you want. He said, when you'll be out of here, decree it. I said, okay, I'll be out of here in 7 days. Moved into a new place. That next day, my wife and I went around, looked at some places. David was in the back. He was a young boy and asleep on the back seat. We looked at this place. Boy, it was really kind of, you know, we didn't want to live there. And look at another place, didn't want to live. And passed by this other place, this luxury apartment building. David raised up out of the seat and said, we're going to live right there. And I wanted to just smack him because I knew I didn't have no right there money. You know, but I'm dealing with the wisdom of God now. So then we looked at some other places. I told my wife, I said, well, we got 6 days. We'll be out. She said, where are we going to move? I said, I don't know. Then the next day, I said, well, babe, we got 5 days. We'll be out. She said, well, where are we going to move? Now, that was the day we went to church, somebody visited somebody's church. And on the way to church, she said, sweetheart, you keep saying that, but where are we going to move? I said, sweetheart, I don't know where we're going to move, but we'll be moving in 5 days. Tears start coming to her eyes. I want to know where we're going to move. I said, baby, I don't know where we're going to move. Now, understand, she didn't have the revelation that I had because I'm operating on another level on the wisdom of God. And then here comes, okay, came on down. Now we got 2 days. Went back over to the luxury building. Walked in there just like we owned everything. And the lady says, oh, you come in? You want to see an apartment? I said, yes. So what would you like to see? I said, well, let's see what all you have. She said, well, we have efficiency. We have 1 bedroom and 2 bedroom. I said, okay, why don't we just look at all of them just to see what we have? She said, okay, looked at all of them. She said, came back in the office. She said, which one would you like? I said, well, maybe we'll start out with that efficiency. And that's the one that you get up and everybody look at everybody when you get up. And so what happened then? She said, well, okay, let's get a date for you to move in. She said, when can you move in? I said, well, what do you have? She said, Tuesday's good. She said, we'll set it up so the dock is ready for your furniture to come. I looked at my wife and said, furniture? Wife, she said, do you have furniture? I said, well, no, we kind of come from the mission field and so forth. She said, oh, you have no furniture. She said, okay, well, we have some furniture, some model apartment furniture in the basement. We'll get that up. You could use that until you get your furniture. She said, okay, now what we have, is we have to pay 1 month rent plus another month rent, whatever it was too much. I look at my wife, I look back at the lady, she said, don't tell me you don't have that much. I said, no, ma'am, we really don't. We got one, we can cover with one. She said, I'll tell you what, we'll spread the rest out over a year. She said, all right, next is your gas and appliance. She said, don't tell me you don't have that. She said, okay, we'll go ahead and turn that on for you. She said, now the parking garage is 55. She said, okay, just park down there. Just. Now, I'm not like that today. But wait a minute. The wisdom of God said that I had to declare something. And that's where I was missing it at. And because I didn't, I wasn't getting out, because I'm trying to deal with the devil on his level. And if you start speaking things, you have gone up into the fourth dimension. And things of the natural are controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit. Say amen to that. All right, so the last thing is wisdom and... yeah, man. I want to tell y'all something. No, I can't tell you because I'm out of time. People looking at me like I'm... Yeah, well... We'll finish it next time. But here's my deal. Now, here's the deal. The deal is, the anointing is in you. You don't have to go anywhere. Is you and God, yes. And he made it that way. Now, yes. God will have other people help you, of course, and so forth and so on, because he's concerned about your progress. He wants you to succeed. Yes. But you have an anointing in you. Now, here's the deal. You have to know that anointing is in you. Amen. See, for these things to operate in God, you've got to have your mind understanding that, hey, this is true. This is in me. And then watch this thing start to operate, and it's in you right now. Amen. See, I believe that I'm anointed. Amen. I'm not saying that because I'm a preacher. Because before I even had a pulpit, I knew I was anointed. I would have people call me on the phone, need healing. And there's a lady, quick as they call me, she'd hook up the three-way call, and I'd speak to that devil. I'd command that part to be healed, and I'd hear him start crying and so forth, and people get healed. Wait a minute. I'm not saying that's about me. I'm saying I'm anointed. I expect when I pray for the sick, come on, somebody's going to be healed up in here somewhere. I expect when people come to me and ask me a question and something that trying to get some things right and need a word from God and so forth like that, that God will give me something that they can draw out. Yes. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you very much for your time. Yeah, right. You were overshot. Now, how many anointed people do I have in here? Say this with me. Raise your hand. Say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have heard your word. I am anointed. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I thank you. I believe it.
That anointing is in me now.
Help me to stir up that anointing.
From this day forward,
there is no shortage in my life.
From this day forward,
the anointing that is in me
teaches me,
guides me,
shows me,
perfects me,
and prospers me
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm anointed.
And if anybody else asks me this,
I'm going to tell them,
from now on,
you're talking to an anointed child of God.
And if I lay hands on you, you're going to recover in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
I know that I apologize. It took so long. But these things take long sometimes. They take a little bit longer.
Say amen to this.
Now, there are two that run together that are very, very popular or came out in Jesus' life. Wisdom and might. And I just want to talk to you about those two, because I'm telling you, if we can just get those two operating in our lives, the world's going to see a force out there that they've never seen before in their lives. If you hear God spoken to your heart about being born again, this is your night. So I'd like to pray for you. Same prayer that prayed for me, so you can get in on this anointing that I talked about. Now, I don't know where you stand with God, but I know this. There's no coincidence with God. God brought you here because this is your day. This is your time.